We're holding on Memtes Amud Beis by the Mishnah. So now, for the next few, now we've basically finished discussing the matter of Ashur and the various Nizakim that it causes, Keren, and to a certain extent, Shein V'Regel. Shein V'Regel really we're going to pick up again in the next Perek, but now we were dealing mostly with the goring of Ashur. We're basically done with that. Now the next few blocks, we're going to talk about the Nezek of Bur. We have, it's we're one of the four of us. Nezikin, Ashur, V'Habur, V'Hamav, V'Hever. So now we're up to Bur. So the Mishnah says, HaChofa Bur v'shosa yachad u'poscha v'shosa rabin. If a person dug a pit in v'shosa yachad and he opened it towards v'shosa rabin. So for example, in other words, it was, he built it, he dug it on an angle so that the opening is in v'shosa rabin and the actual inside of the bur is in his v'shos. That would be one example where he's chayev. Rashi points out, let's finish the Mishnah, and then we'll talk about or the other way around. If he opened it, if the bur was basically dug under Rosh Hashanah, and the opening is in Rosh Hashanah, the Tosfos gives the general rule is you should realize that wherever the opening of the bur is, that's where the bur itself is considered to be. Now we're going to learn in the Gemara, you're not supposed to build a bur under Rosh Hashanah, it may cave in, and that may cause problems. But leaving that aside, here we're talking about the chiyuv of the actual bur itself, of someone, of an animal falling into the actual opening of the bur. So if the opening of the bur is in Rosh Hashanah, then a person would be chayev. Rashi says all the more so when we said that he opened it in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and the entrance and the opening to it is in Rosh Hashanah Abim, he's chayev. All the more so if both the body of the bur and the opening are in Rosh Hashanah Abim, for sure he's chayev. The point being, in other words, that you shouldn't think it has to be someplace in his Rishus. It doesn't matter whether it's in his Rishus. We're going to see in the Gemara about that. We're going to see Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, here where we have the second case where the actual bur itself is under Rosh Hashanah, but the opening is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it would have to be, Rashi points out, that he was maskir that Rishus, that then he dug that bur, and then he made that Rishus, that where the bur opens into, available for the Bnei Rosh Hashanah to use. Because otherwise, if the opening is in his Rishus, then if anybody falls in, he can tell them, what are you doing in my Rishus? Tosfos points out, it may actually also be where he does it right by the edge of his property, where it's so close to Rosh Hashanah Abim that people, or animals rather, we're talking about that are walking in Rosh Hashanah Abim, are very likely to fall into it. Anyway, and the third case, Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Poskel Rosh Hashanah Yachid Acher, or if he dug a bur in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and the opening is into a different Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rashi learns that it means that both of them belong to him, but again, he was maskir the second Rosh Hashanah Yachid, so now you have an opening to a bur which is in Rosh Hashanah Abim. Tosfos discusses that it might actually be, a Rosh Hashanah Abim of a different person. So in other words, Reuven digs a bur under his property, and the opening is into Shimon's property, or the other way around. Whatever the case, the point is, in all those cases, chayev. So now if an animal falls into that bur, then in all those three cases, he's chayev. So the Gemara starts off, Tana Rabbanan, HaKhoif of bur v'shus yachid v'poscha l'shus rabin. So if a person digs a bur in v'shus yachid, and the entrance, the opening of the bur, is in v'shus rabin, now you have the next words over here, v'shus rabin v'poscha l'shus yachid, is similar to an Or Mishnah, where you have the other way around, if it was in v'shus rabin, and the opening is in v'shus yachid, but actually Marshal and Marshal take that out, which is why it's in parenthesis, because we're going to say soon that actually we're going to have Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and then we're going to have a machlokas of Amiroyim, how to understand them, and not according to everybody always saying that Rabbi Shmuel would say he's chayev when it comes v'shus yachid or poskel v'shus yachid. So according to one understanding of Rabbi Shmuel, that may be valid, but according to the other, it's not. So in order not to contradict him, then it means this is not part of the braisa. Anyway, so v'shus yachid or poskel v'shus yachid. So he dug a bur in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and the opening of it is in Rosh Hashanah. So chayev, so then he would be chayev for any nezek that's caused by that bur. V'zehu bur ha'omer b'torah divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says this is the definition of the bur that the Torah is talking about where a person is chayav. What he means by that phrase, we're going to learn in the Gemara. Tosfos also brings as a girsa that has instead of birshas a yachid or poschal birshas a rabin, that has birshas a rabin or poschal birshas a rabin, meaning that this braisa is talking about where the whole burr, the body of the burr as well as the opening is in birshas a rabin. But Tosfos says you don't really then in that case you could just say a chotu burr birshas a rabin. But fine, it wants to use phrasing similar to our Mishnah. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, no, it has to be like this. Hifkir reshusay v'lo hifkir boroi, where the person was mafkir his reshus, and says, this reshus yachid, where the opening of the bor is, I mafkir it, people of reshus harabim can walk in it, but he wasn't mafkir the bor itself, that would be Zehu Bor HaOmer BaTorah. Rabbi Akiva would say that's the case where the Torah is talking about that he's chayev for the bor, as we'll see soon in the Gemara. So let's explain what exactly the argument is. Amar Rabba, the bur b'shus harabim kol amalei pligidim chayim. If the actual bur was in b'shus harabim, then everybody would agree that he's chayev. Whether even though you could argue, what do you mean the bur doesn't even though you could say the bur doesn't really belong to him because it's in b'shus harabim. Nevertheless, everybody would agree that he's chayev. My timer, Amar Kura, because the pasuk says ki yiftach. The pasuk mentions two possibilities where a person opens up a burr, meaning there was already a burr there and it was covered and he uncovered it, or v'chi yichra, or if he digs a burr to begin with. You have to ask, ima psicha chayev, he's chayev even for opening a burr that was already there and all he did was take off the lid, al kriya like koshikin, how much more so shouldn't he be chayev for actually digging a new one where there was never a hezek there, a potential hezek there at all, and he created one. So why does the pasuk even need to mention that he dug the burr? Now, Tosfos refers to the Mechilta, which actually says, you learn from here the general concept, ein onshin min adin. We know all over Shas, we say, that you can't punish a person, whether it's Malkus or Misa or any, or in this case, Mammon, based on a Kavah Choymer. You need an actual posuk to tell you, or a limud from a posuk to tell you. And the Mechilta derives that from here, because since the Torah took the trouble to write Ti Yichra, rather than allowing us to rely on a Kavah Choymer, then that shows Ein Onshin Min HaDin. However, Tosfos points out, our Gemara is not taking that view of the matter, or the Gemara Bavli does hold that you could be Onshin Min HaDin, at least when it comes to Onshin Mammon. So therefore the Gemara needs a different reason why it says Ki Yichra. And so the reason is, Ella shall iske psicha val iske kriya baloi. What the Torah is teaching you is that you're talking about that you chayev only because you opened the burr or only because you dug the burr. Meaning, in other words, that even though you're talking in Rishus HaRabim, the land doesn't belong to you. So if it was a burr in your property, then or it's a burr, like Rabbi Akiva says, that you own the actual burr, then you could say, of course you're chayev, because then it's your mammon, no different than if your ox or anything else causes damage. Or like we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, a tulda of burrs, for example, that you put a knife someplace where somebody can trip over it, or a stone or a knife or a load of goods or whatever, and those all belong to you. So if it belongs to you, of course you're chayev, it's your mammon. The chiddush is over here that even though it's in Rishus HaRabim and the land, the ground, doesn't belong to you, nevertheless, you still chayev because you dug the burr or because you uncovered it. So when it's in Rishus HaRabim, then both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are going to agree it's chayev. Says Rabbi, lo nechluku ela b'burr b'rishusai. The argument between them is strictly when the burr is in his property and then he was mafkir the rishus and then he was mafkir the rishus around. Rabbi Akiva, some of Berber Shosei Nami Chayev. So Rabbi Akiva holds, doesn't matter that, when the bird is, even though the bird remains in his reshus, he's also chayav b'chtiv bala bur, because the pasuk describes what does he do, what happens when an animal falls in there and gets killed, the owner of the bur has to pay, implying the bur di'islei b'ilim kamer achmana, implying the Torah is talking about a bur that has an owner, and the Torah is machayav him. So you see that even though he still retains ownership of the bur, nevertheless he's still chayav. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether he was mafkir the bur or not, as long as he was mafkir the area, as long as he was mafkir the area around it. But Rabbi Shmuel saw the bala takola, whereas Rabbi Shmuel holds bala bur doesn't mean that somebody actually owns the bur. All it means is that we call the bala bur the one who created the takola over here, the one who created the obstacle in the Rosh Hashanah. He's the one going to be chayav to pay whether he actually owns the bur or not. So Rashi explains, in other words, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, what we're saying is Rabbi Shmuel takes the point that takes the view that only if he was machir. He says, look, I was mafkir my reshus, but I'm not mafkir it to the extent that I should be chayev. I'm mafkir it so people can walk over here, but I'm not taking responsibility if people fall in over there. So that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says that it's a little bit different. Rabbi Shmuel would say, if I wasn't mafkir the reshus, then you say that turchav reshus, my boy, what is your ox doing in my reshus? Meaning you didn't have to walk so close to the edge of Reshus Rabim that you would fall into something in my reshus. So that would be why Rabbi Shmuel would say that it has to be in Reshus Rabim, or it has to be at least at the opening if it is in Reshus Rabim. Well, then what does Rabbi Akiva mean when he says Zehu Bor HaOmer BaTorah? Now, Rabbi Shmuel, when he says Zehu Bor, he means this is the Bor, meaning in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is saying that only when you have the opening in Rosh Hashanah are you Chayev, and the Zehu, this, as opposed to what you, Rabbi Akiva, are saying, that you can have a case where even it's in Rosh Hashanah and you're going to be Chayev, so Rabbi Shmuel, Zehu, is coming to exclude Rabbi Akiva. But what is Rabbi Akiva coming to exclude with his Zehu? Either way, he's saying whether it's in Rosh Hashanah or whether it's in, and you were mafkir it, or whether it's in Rosh Hashanah, you're Chayev. So what does Rabbi Akiva mean by the word Zehu? So it means Zehu Bosh, Apostle by Akos of Tchilul Tashlomen. All he means is that this is, he says, this is the one that the Torah is mentioning as far as payment. Meaning, in other words, Rabbi Akiva is not saying that it's coming to exclude a different kind. All Rabbi Akiva is saying is that you, Rabbi Shmuel, are telling me that when the bur is Rishus HaYochid, then you should be potter, and he was mafkir the Rishus and not mafkir the bur, he should be potter according to you, Rabbi Shmuel. This is the very bur that the Torah is talking about, because it says Bala bur. So he doesn't mean Zehu to exclude, just the opposite. He means Zehu as in how can you think otherwise when this is clearly the one the Torah is talking about. So that's how Rabba understands the machlokes. Rabbi Yosef says no. You have to understand the machlokes differently. Where the bird is in Rosh Hashanah, and he was mafkir the area around it, so now anybody can walk in there. Then everybody agrees that he's chayev. My time of bala bur omer achmona bur de islay baile maskinan because the bur de islay baile maskinan because. Like Rabbi had just said, since it says Bala Bor Yishalem, then it has to mean something. It has to mean a bird that has an owner. So what the svara that Rabbi had used to explain Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef is using it to explain both of them. So both of them would agree with that point. He pligi with bird b'shus rabim. Rabbi Yosef understands the other way around. The machlokas is strictly about a bird b'shus rabim. Rabbi Shmuel saw the bird b'shus rabim nami chayev. What it is on the contrary. So according to Rabbi, Rabbi Shmuel holds that there are fewer cases of bur that you chayev than Rabbi Akiva does. He holds that a bur b'shus yachid you'd be potter and only b'shus rabim you chayev. Now according to Rabbi Yosef, it's the other way around. Rabbi Shmuel is saying, according to Rabbi Yosef, it's the other way around. Rabbi Shmuel is saying that there's more cases where you chayev. also when it's Mishas Rabin, Dichtiv Ki Yiftach V'Chiyechra, because we have the two statements in the pasuk that we said before, when a person opens up a bur, or when he digs a new one, and like we said before, Imap Sicha Chayev Akriya LeKol Shekein, certainly a person should be Chayev for digging a bur, if he's Chayev even for uncovering one, El Shal Iskip Sicha Val Iskip Kriya Baloi, rather it's we're saying he's Chayev because he dug, or because he uncovered, or because he dug, meaning even though the bur doesn't belong to him. So the same svara that Rabbah had said before, that both of them agree with, and therefore they would both say that's Chayev versus Anamim, Rabbi Yosef is saying that svara is only according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva would answer back, and he would say no, it's not that there's no extra words over there that you can learn that concept from, rather Rabbi Akiva would say, Hanu mitzrach tzrichi, no, because you need both the word ki yiftach and ki yichra. The e kos rachmana ki yiftach, if the Torah only wrote the words ki yiftach, if he opened up the bur, you would think on the contrary. If you opened up, if there was already a bur there and it was covered and you uncovered it, fine. So you have to bring things back to the way they were before you got involved. You have to recover it. And it's enough to do that. And then if you recover it with a proper cover, then you're potter for anything that happens afterwards. But you would think if the person dug a whole new bur, maybe covering it is not enough. Add the toyim lay, he would actually have to fill it in. He'd actually the toyim lay. Rashi points out later on in the sugya, Rashi brings over there. You know, you have by Yitzchak and his wells, where Avraham had dug wells and then the plishtim stuffed them up. And the expression is sitmum plishtim in the positive, and Targum translates it as tamoinon plishtoi. So we see that the word tom test mem or test aleph mem means to stuff up to fill up a bur with dirt. So you would think maybe if he actually dug a whole new bur, maybe he has to actually stuff it with dirt, and only then is he potter. So therefore you need to say ki yichra as well. Which means if he digs. Even if he digs, then he's only chayev as long as there's a possibility of a nafal shamasher and hamer, namely that he, because the pasuk continues, v'lo yichasem. So even though he dug it, the pasuk says v'lo yichasenu. If he doesn't cover it, then he's chayev, implying as long as he covered it, then we're good. Marsha, by the way, brings up a point that what happened to Daya over here? If you're going to learn digging it by a kavachomer from opening it up, you're going to say if he's chayev even for opening it up, how much more so for digging it? Dial of Omen Adinlius Kenadin. Why shouldn't you require him just to cover it up? Why didn't the Pasuk tell us otherwise? And a couple of Achronim point out, the Pnei Yeshua and some other Achronim point out that you could say it like this. Anytime the Torah is telling you maybe that you have to restore things to the way that it was before you got involved. When you opened the bur, before there was a bur there, all it was is there was a cover. You removed the cover. Fine, you put back the cover, you're back to where you were before. Here, we're talking about you dug a whole new bur. Maybe the Torah is going to require you to put things back to the way they were before you got involved. Therefore, the Torah has to tell you that, no, it's enough to cover it.
Also, if someone before him dies, then it's chayv. The balabas, someone dug it, it's chayv.
No, he wouldn't be chayv for Abba Dvarim necessarily because he didn't cause the hazard directly. His bur caused it.
Before we said that you can't learn from, you can't have chayv unshim.
Ain't unshim and adin, right.
Yeah, but it's not unshim saying.
Here we're not talking, right. So here what we're saying is, in other words, that the point is, if the Torah hadn't said ki yichra, you would think you actually have to fill in the bur as a whole. Therefore the Torah has to say ki yichra. The ikos rahmana ki yichra. On the other hand, if the Torah had only written ki yichra, argues Rabbi Akiva, again, this is all within Rabbi Yosef's svara, have amina, then you would think the other way around. Kriya hu deboi kisu. When he dug the bur for the first time, then the Torah is requiring that he cover it. Mishum de ovid maisa, because he did a major maisa over there by digging a bur where there wasn't one before. Avo peseach, the loy ovid maisa, but when he just opens up a bur, he didn't do much of a maisa, all he did was remove a cover. So Ema kisri namu le boy, on the contrary, maybe he doesn't even need to cover it at all. Maybe the Torah would pater him from any nizakin at all, because all he did was remove a cover. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rabbi Akiva is going to say, according to Rabbi Yosef, that you need both things. So you can't learn from it like Rabbi Shmuel does, that that you chayev because you dug or because you uncovered, meaning it doesn't matter whether the burr belongs to you or not. Rabbi Akiva is going to say, sure, the burr has to belong to you. If it's not, if it doesn't belong to you, then it's a, you don't have a bala burr, as it says in the pasuk, therefore you can't be chayev. The reason why it says ki yiftach v'chi yichra, not that you, Rabbi Shmuel, are saying that it didn't need to say ki yichra, and therefore we're able to use it to teach us that regardless, as long as he dug a burr, as long as he uncovered a burr, he's chayev. No, because you need each one of them, because then there's a svara, you would have had a svara to say that maybe he should be more chayev in the case of one of them, or more potter in the case of one of them.
And more chayev mean?
More chayev mean that he'd have to fill it in with dirt in order to be potter, and more potter that maybe he shouldn't even need to cover it at all, yeah. So the elam
on the cover for sure, the cover.
No, because you could argue that's what Rabbi Yosef is explaining. Rabbi Akiva is saying that if you didn't dig the burr yourself, you only found it covered and you uncovered it, maybe the Torah is not considering you to be so responsible. Maybe you consider the original bala burr to be more responsible and therefore be mechayev him and not you because you're removing the cover. Nevertheless, you could have had that svara. Therefore, the Torah forestalls that by telling you below yichasenu that if you didn't cover it, you're the one who becomes chayev. It's not your burn, you didn't dig it in the first place, and nevertheless.
Covered, not anyone can fall in
the. Well, that's the point. In other words, the Torah needs to tell you that. Yeah. Okay. The Ella's my zehu burn ha'omer b'Torah to carbon of Yishmael. So what is Yishmael? So now, according to Rabbah before, we were left with, we had the question, what did Rabbi Akiva mean with his zehu burr? Given that Rabbi Akiva holds there's more cases that you chayev than Rabbi Shmuel does. So we said Rabbi Shmuel says zehu, meaning my kind of burr, as opposed to what you say, Rabbi Shmuel, according to you, what you, Rabbi Akiva, say. But here in Rabbi Yosef's understanding, it's the other way around. Rabbi Shmuel has a more expansive burr, has a more expansive view of what kind of burr a person is chayev in. So then what is Rabbi Shmuel saying zehu? So Rabbi Akiva is saying zehu bor, meaning only the kind I'm talking about, not the kind you're talking about. But Rabbi Shmuel, who has a more extensive view of it, and he says that even a bor b'shas rabin, where it doesn't belong to you even to begin with, you're still chayev, then what's his zehu? And the answer is like before, zehu abor, zehu bor, shaposach by akosach chilul nizakin. He explains it like the way we said before. It means Rabbi Shmuel is saying, how could you, Rabbi Akiva, be saying that this case of a bor b'shas rabin is the case where a person is potter? This is the very case that the Torah is talking about and being mechayev. So you can't think to exclude that based on your drashas. He's telling you. Rev Alashmona. Maybe the Gemara says, okay, so now we understand then, so we have two different understandings. So we have Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva.
Kingston,
yeah.
Pina Khan. Pina Svola.
Okay, so now we have Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva, and we have Rabbah's understanding of it, and we have Rabbi Yosef's understanding of it. So the Gemara says, Macy, I have a contradiction against Rabbi Yosef's understanding. A Brisa says, Achoyfa bor b'shas rabim, person digs a pit in b'shas rabim, or poschel b'shas yachid, and he opened it into b'shas yachid, potter. Then he's potter because it's in his property. It's in his Rosh Hashanah. And he can say that you have no business walking around here, as Tosfos uses the expression, what's your shur doing in my Rosh Hashanah, that it should have a fall into this burr in the first place.
The opening is by Rosh Hashanah.
No, we said the opening is in Rosh Hashanah. So the body of the burr, the inside of the burr, is underneath the Rosh Hashanah. So now, so the Apophisha in Rosh Hashanah losses came. It is true, says the Braisa, that a person is not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to dig a cavity under Rosh Hashanah because the top of it may cave in. And if the top of it caves in, in fact, so Rashi points out, he will be chayev. But if the animal falls in through the entrance, as it usually would, through the opening of the burr, and the opening is in Rosh Hashanah, then the owner of the burr will be potter. Rashi points out, for purposes of the question, we assume that it means even if afterwards he was mafkir his rishus. So at this point we're assuming the tana of this braisa holds that you are chayev for a bor in rishus rabin just that you are chayav for a burden Rishas Rabim, just that right now there's no Rishas Rabim for it to fall into because the opening is in Rishas Yochid. So the only way for you to be chayav would be if you were mafkir the if you were we're saying even if you were mafkir your rishus, because to begin with the opening was in your rishus, then therefore you'd be potter. Only if the top of it that's under rishus rabim caved in, then you'd be chayav. So lefisha ein oisin tachas chol tachas rishus rabim, you're not allowed to make a cavity under rishus rabim because it may cave in. And by the way, before I should point out, so you could say, so what? You'll say that, the Rashban actually points out, this is a Mishnah in Baba Basra that says you're not allowed to do this. The Rashban says over there, so you could say, so what? I'll dig under Rosh Hashanah. If it caves in and anybody gets injured or whatever, then I take full responsibility and I'll pay them. Nevertheless, people can say, the B'nai Rosh Hashanah can say, look, we don't want to get involved in all that hassle. We don't want to that there's going to be a Nezek and then we have to go to Beis Din and go through that whole rigmarole. So don't do it to begin with. So here, the guy did it. Nevertheless, we can't be mechayev him for an animal falling in through the opening of it. Because the opening of it is in his rishus. Yeah. Continues the b'raisa.
Does he have a little fence there that should prevent it from going in?
The pashtus not, and in fact, Rashi says even if afterwards he was makir his rishus, but right now, at least for purposes of the question, we're assuming the point is that to begin with, when he dug the burr, the opening of it was in his rishus.
What happens if the opening being in rishus hayachid and something falls inside, the shor falls inside, and then it causes the wall of the rishus harabim to collapse and someone gets injured?
Good question. I mean, I guess we would have to say that probably that's a matter of grumma, and therefore the owner of the shur would be potter, and then the owner of the burr would be chayev because he dug this burr and it caved in. But I don't know. It's a good question. I really don't know.
Grumma means what? We mean the secondary.
Grumma means an indirect damage. If because the shur falling in that weakened the top of the burr and therefore it caved in, you could argue that that's not really something that the shur caused directly. It's like we learned the other day, for example, about a shur falling into a burr and then stinking up the water because it died in there. So that's a grumma. It's something that is going to happen, but it's not something that happened immediately as soon as the shur fell in there.
And garmi is direct.
Garmi is more direct, but yeah, we'll talk about that later in the Sefer. There are actually several different understandings among Rishonim about the differences in Grumma and Garmi, but we'll talk about that more in more detail later in the Sefer. As Hashem, yeah. Continues the Braisa. If a person digs Burdus, Shichin, and Ma'oris in Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to learn on Umud Beis what the definitions of those are, there are different shapes of water pits, or Poschel Rosh Hashanah, and he opened up the opening of the Burdus in Rosh Hashanah, Chayev, then he's going to be Chayev because he has no business opening a Burdus in Rosh Hashanah. Now, what happens? A person digs a burr in Rishos Yachid next to Rishos Rabin. For example, when people are digging to build foundations for walls, you have to have the word ushin, Rashi points out, is an Aramaic word meaning walls. So when you're building a wall, you have to dig deep down into the ground because you have to lay a solid foundation. So then, the Braisa says, so the Tanakama would say that he's potter for reasons that we're going to discuss soon. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would say he's chayev ad shiyasa mechitza asara unless he makes a fence 10 tefachim tall around the digging over there. Or unless he keeps it at least 4 tefachim away from where people and animals are going to walk in Rosh Hashanah. So in other words, if he does it further into his property, then if he doesn't want to put up a wall, then he has to do it far enough into his property where they won't accidentally fall in. If here it says four tefachim, there's a girsa, the Marashal brings a girsa, four amos. Anyway, the point is, so thus far the Braisa, so let's consider that last part. Taimer de la Ushin, why are we saying according to the Tanakama that he's potter? Is because he's digging in order to put up walls. You could argue, in other words, it wasn't really pshia for him to do that, because people need to build walls for their for their houses, so it's not pesheya. In fact, the Rambam Foshim will point out the fact of needing to build walls is such an important thing that even the Tanakhama is going to say that it's considered like the Bnei Rosh HaSarabim all gave him permission to do that, because it's a very important point. The Rashba points out, in other words, that building houses is so essential for places to be settled. Everybody needs that. Therefore, to begin with, everybody agrees that a person does that, he should be potter from nizakin. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda says that's all very nice, but you still have to put up a fence or have it further in. Anyway, the point is, only because he's doing a l'ushin, because he has that special rule, then he'd be potter. Halav l'ushin chayev. So, implying that if he wasn't digging for the purpose of walls, then he would be chayev. So now, homani. So who is this braisa like? Bishleima l'rabba, reish Rabbi Shmuel, v'sefer Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabba, we can say that the beginning of the braisa is according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says, again, according to Rabba's understanding, where the burr was in your reshus, Rabbi Shmuel said you potter, Rabbi Akiva said you chayev. Very well then, the beginning of the braisa that says that he's potter when the burr was reshus, because we said the opening of the burr was in his reshus, and he said he's potter, that would be according to Rabbi Shmuel. The continuation of the braisa would be says that only when choyfa the ushin is he potter, implying otherwise he's going to be chayev, even though the opening is on his property, that would be according to Rabbi Akiva. Fine, with Bryce, Rabbi Akiva Svara, we said before, Rabba explained Rabbi Akiva Svara to say that that as long as the burr is even if the burr is in your reshus, if you were mafkir the area around the burr, so now people can walk there, then you become chayev. Well, over here he's digging for ushin right next to Rosh Hashanah, and therefore Rabbi Akiva is going to be mechayevim, even though the actual digging is on his property because it's next to Rosh Hashanah. So when he's doing for foundations of walls, then Rabbi Akiva will pater him, because like the Rashba said, everybody agrees that you have to do that kind of thing, but not otherwise. So according to Rabba, we understand who the braisa is like. Rabbi Yosef would say that the sefer where you're digging next to Rosh Hashanah, then you're going to be chayev unless you have the special reason of la'ushin. That's going to be according to everybody, because Rabbi Yosef holds that everybody agrees that a burr. Rabbi Yosef had said, everybody agrees that you're chayev when the burr is in your reshus, when you mafkir the area around the burr, because Bala burr, because again, the pasuk calls him the owner of the burr. So according to Rabbi Yosef, the end of the braisa about the ushin, we understand. Ela resha mani, but who would the beginning of the braisa be like? Loi Rabbi Shmuel, v'loi Rabbi Akiva. Doesn't seem to work according to either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Yosef's understanding, when the burr is in Rosh Hashanah, then you have the machlokas whether he's chayev or whether he's potter. But he was saying to begin with, he said that he opened the burr into Rosh Hashanah, and we were assuming that he wasn't mafkir the area around it. So nobody holds he's chayev. So why would the beginning of the braisa say, or rather the other way around, where the burr was in Rosh Hashanah and the opening was in Rosh Hashanah? So according to Rabbi Yosef, the beginning of the braisa had said that if the opening is in Rosh Hashanah, he's potter, but according to Rabbi Yosef, that wouldn't work out. How could he be potter? Both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva would be saying, because the burr was in Rosh Hashanah, then for sure he's going to be chayev, because he was mafkir that area, and therefore people are allowed to walk there. So he's the Baal of burr. You have an actual owner of the burr because it's in his property. So when the beginning of the braisa says that if he dug it under Rosh Hashanah, which fine, he wasn't allowed to do that, and the opening was to Rosh Hashanah, then was saying he's potter, according to either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Yosef's understanding, he should be chayev.
It's only if he's mafkir.
If it was mafkir, that's what we're assuming. You know, why else? I mean, if he wasn't mafkir, of course he's potter, because he can say, what's your show doing in my property?
Even though it wasn't that far away.
Right.
Because Ushin, you'd say, is far away.
Ushin is not so far away, actually, but yeah. Ushin is right by the edge of Rosh Hashanah. The Tanakhama had said that even if he does it right next to Rosh Hashanah, he's still potter. Of Yosef Yehuda, he said he has to add to four tfachim or four amas away. So the answer is, Amalach Rav Yosef, kula divrei hakol, he, actually what it is the whole, not like you're saying according to Rabbah, that the Braisa is half according to the Bishmol and half according to the Akiva. Rabbi Yosef is going to answer you, the whole Braisa is according to everybody, according to both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Not the whole Braisa, technically, Tosfos points out. The middle part, we were talking about that the Borer is in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and the opening is in Rosh Hashanah, that necessarily would be only according to Rabbi Shmuel, where the opening is in Rosh Hashanah, that Ischayev would only be according to Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Yosef's understanding, because Rabbi Akiva would say that you're that Borer Rosh Hashanah, you're potter because it doesn't have an owner. That's what we said before, even though he dug it. But the rest of the Braisa, the beginning and the end of the Braisa, would be according to both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, because the Reisha Shaloi Hifkir Loi Rashus Veloi Borei. You know what? In the Reisha, you're talking about he wasn't Mafkir anything. He wasn't Mafkir the Rashus, he wasn't Mafkir the Borei. So therefore, that's why he's potter, because what's your show doing in my property? So yes, you could argue it's not much of a Chiddush, but nevertheless, you can explain the Braisa that way. Rashi, in fact, points out, given that the Braisa has to talk about the other cases we're involving Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, so the Chiddush would be, the main Chiddush would be that even though he did wrong by digging under Rosh Hashanah, and he said, Eino Isin Cholo Tachas Rosh Hashanah, nevertheless, we can't be Machayev him on those grounds unless the top of it actually caves in. Just because he dug under Rosh Hashanah, as long as the opening is in his property, then you can't be mechayev him if the property and the burr still belong to him, because what's your show doing in my property? So that would be the chiddush of that part, according to Rabbi Yosef. And the Gemara points out, Amar Rav Ashi, Hashta de Ukimta l'Rabbi Yosef, the Divrei Hakol, now that you're saying that according to Rabbi Yosef, the entire Braisa could be according to both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Nami lo Chot Mekitanoi. Then really, according to Rabba, you're not forced to say that the Braisa is dealing with two different opinions over here, and that part of it is according to Rabbi Shmuel, and part according to Rabbi Akiva. Mid Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, Sefer Nami Rabbi Shmuel. Because you could say, since the Reisha is necessarily according to Rabbi Shmuel, because it says that he's potter where the opening is in Rosh Hashanah, and according to Rabba, that's talking about where he was marked through the area around it, if he wasn't mafkir the area around that he's potter, and if he was in his chayev, since we said according to Rabba, the beginning of the Braisa is according to Rabbi Shmuel, then we can also say Sefer Nami Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer we can also about the Ushin, we can also make work according to Rabbi Shmuel, because Taima de la Ushin, what are we saying? Yes, because he's digging for Ushin, therefore he's Potter Halav la Ushin Chayev, and you're implying that if he didn't dig for Ushin, then he's Chayev. That would be going to Arvach Arvuchi l'Rishos Rabin. That would be, we're talking about where he extended out the bird that he's digging for his walls into Rosh Hashanah. So he didn't just stop by his property line, he actually went out further into Rosh Hashanah. That's one way of explaining that, and then there's a different way that some Achroinim have of explaining it, the Yamshel Shloime, the Bach, have a different way of explaining it. That basically, and they also change the wording in Rashi over here to make it fit with this understanding, that what it means is he took some of his property and designated, he's digging in his reshus. What he's doing is he's digging right now there in order to build foundations. Eventually, once he finishes digging, he plans to take that area in which he was digging and hand it over to Rishus Rabbi. So right now it's still part of his property, but eventually he's going to. But what he's planning is, in other words, until he finishes his construction project, then this part is still going to belong to him. Anyway, so we can understand that the Braisa is talking about that kind of case. So therefore, so again, whether we understand on a simple level that he's actually digging out into Rosh Hashanah as well, or whether we understand like that explanation that it means that he's digging an area which is eventually going to become Rosh Hashanah, therefore Rabbi Shmuel would say that usually he'd be chayev only when he's chayev for the Ushin. Only then does he have the reason that digging for Ushin is so important that we can pattern him. Okay. So you could say that part, L'Ushin, is also according to Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore the whole Braisa is like Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, the Gemara says, fine, I have another contradiction against Rav Yosef. Maisvi, ha-choyfe burger shos ha-yachar apostol shos ha-radim. The person is digging a burr in Rosh Hashanah and he opens it into Rosh Hashanah. Chayev, so he's chayev because he's chayev, because now you have a burr in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, that's smuch of Rosh Hashanah, but if he dug it in Rosh Hashanah and it's close to Rosh Hashanah, potter, then he'd be, then it's close to Rosh Hashanah, and Rashi adds, in other words, again, that you're talking about a case where Hifkir Roshosei, where he's designating that this area can now be used by the Bnei Roshos Rabim. So then Potter. So again, the Shlema L'Rabba Kula Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabba, that this Braisa that we just quoted is according to Rabbi Shmuel. El Rabbi Yosef, the Shlema Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, El Sefer Mani, according to Rabbi Yosef. The beginning is like Rabbi Shmuel, because he's Machayev with a Berber Roshos Rabim, but the Sefer, according to who would it be? Loi Rabbi Shmuel, Loi Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Yosef's understanding, it wouldn't work with either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. Because again, Rabbi Shmuel would say that you Chayev when Rabbi Yosef would say that you Chayev by a Berber Roshos Yochid according to everybody and by a Berber Roshos Rabim according to Rabbi Shmuel. And now we're saying that if you dug in a Roshos Yochid a Smuchel Roshos Rabim, then you'd be Potter. So that doesn't work according to either one of them. So the answer is Omalach. Rab Yosef will answer you. This last brisa that we just quoted is talking about when he's digging for foundations. And as we just said, when it's come for digging for foundations, then you have an exception to the usual rules. Then he can be potter because it's such an important thing that they potter him from nizakim for it. Okay. Another case. It says okay. So that's that. So we have a machlokas. We have a machlokas Rabba. We have Machlokas Rabba We have Machlokas Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef are arguing how we understand Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva respectively. They were a couple hundred years later. Yeah. Usually, when we have Machlokas Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, if I remember correctly, usually the halacha is like Rabba in most cases. Rabbi Yosef is more the one who knew a lot of facts. He was the Morich Kite, he was the master of wheat. And Rabba is usually the one who was very sharp. He was very sharp in coming up with the new svaras. The usual rule is that you have most of the time the halacha is like, yeah, usually the halacha is like Rabba with three exceptions where the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef. This is not one of those three exceptions. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Turn it on, Bonin. Bofar uposach. What if a person dug a burr and opened it in Rosh Hashanah and opened it up? Or opened it up, umosel the rabbin, but he handed it over to the rabbin, meaning until now we've been talking about he's digging in Rosh Hashanah, but he expects to use it for himself. He's not making the water that collects in this burr available to everybody. Now we're talking about where he actually digs it for the purpose of the rabbin, and he gives them ownership of that burr. Rashi says that he says to the people, this burr that I've dug is for you to be able to use the water that collects over there. Therefore, in that sense, he's giving it over to them. There are Rishonim who learn the Rosh brings from, and then there are all say that what it means is he actually gives them the lid of the burr, and he tells them that, I'm handing you the lid. You can decide when the burr is open and when it's closed. And you're dealing with that. If he does that, Potter, then he's Potter for if anybody falls into the burr. But if he dug it or uncovered it and did not give it over to the rabbin, then he'd be chayev. That's what we said before. According to Rabbi Akiva, everybody agrees that a burr b'shus rabbin you're chayev. And the machlokas was only about Rosh Hashanah. According to Rabbi Yosef, it's the other way around. According to Rabbi Yosef, this that we're saying would be only according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva would potter him because he'd say a bor Rosh Hashanah and you potter. V'chein min hogoi shon mechun yachoy for boris shichun u'maris. This was the minhag of Mechunia, who used to dig Boris Shichen and Oris. We find in Masechta Shkolim, the Mishnah mentions the various officials that worked in the Beis Mikdash. One of them was the Chunya Choyfer Shichen, the Pashas, the same one as we're talking about over here. It was a position that was passed down from generation to generation. The point is, one of the needs of the Beis Mikdash was lots of water. People are coming on Aliyah LeRegel, people are coming with their animals, the animals need water to drink. So there was an official who was in charge of digging Boris Shichen so that there would be a plentiful water supply. So Nechunya used to do that. He used to dig and uncover wells in Rosh Hashanah for most of the Rabbim, and then he would give them over to Rosh Hashanah and give them over to the Rabbim and tell them that they can use the water freely. When the Chachamim heard of what he's doing, Omru, they said, this man, Nechunya, fulfilled this halacha. He did what this halacha says he can do, and therefore he's part of it. The Gemara says, halacha zu v'tulai. What do you mean? They're saying he only kept with this one halacha in his lifetime. Ela ema, ah, halacha zu. They're saying he kept even this halacha. Of course, he's a frum yid that keeps all the halachas. You should know he was careful even with this, which he might not have chapzach, but this is an important point. He properly gave it over to Bnei Rosh Hashanah. Speaking of this Nechunya, the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa, we learned this story back in Masechta Yevamos as well. It happened once that the daughter of Nechunya Choyfer Shichen fell into a big pit full of water. Some of the Mephoshim Tosfos implies over here that it was actually one of the wells that one of the pits that her father had dug. But whatever the case, whether it was, the problem is she's in great danger over there. She can't, how long is she going to be able to hold her head above water? Bo bo dios Reb Chanina ben Dosa. So they came to tell Reb Chanina ben Dosa to daven on her behalf. Apparently the burr was too big and too deep for them to actually go and get her out.
Well,
whatever, I guess they weren't able to for whatever reason. Maybe she was a little kid and she wouldn't be able to, whatever. Anyway, Shari Shona, Omalahem Shalom, during the first period of time, Shal literally means an hour, but maybe it doesn't necessarily mean an hour over here, he told them, it's all okay, she's going to get out of there alive. Shnia Omalahem Shalom, the second hour also. Shlishis, by the time it was the third hour, and B'derech HaTeva, she wouldn't have survived in there. Omalahem Olsa, she's definitely out of there already, because as the Gemara is going to point out soon, he knew for sure that it's impossible that she's going to die in that burr, so as long as there was still a possibility that she could be alive in there, then he can't yet tell them she's out of there for sure. Once it got to the point where there's no way she could have survived in there that long, then he's saying for sure she must be out of there, because one way or the other, there's no possible way she could have died in there, as he's going to explain in a few lines. And sure enough, Omrula, so they asked her, Mihela, who got you out of that burr? Omrulahem, she says, Zohar shall Rechelim, this damnly, a male sheep, a ram, came across me, the Zuck and Echad Manhigre, with an old man leading the ram, and they were the ones who schlepped me out of the burr. This is symbolizing Avram Avinu and the ram by the Akedah, that Avram Avinu, in other words, came to rescue her. One idea being, because her father was such a Baal Chesed, doing all this digging of wells and giving them to the Rabbim, so that they should have lots of water, so therefore Avraham Avinu came and stuck up for her with his Chesed. An interesting point, in other words, the Pnei Yeshua says that really what it is she, it had already been decided in Shemayim that she would end up, that she would end up dying. But now, Reb Chanina ben Dosa's tefillah helped her, but you still have, there needs to be kind of a substitute, the same way as by Yitzchak, by the Akedah. It wasn't enough that Yitzchak was saved. There had to be a substitute, and therefore Abraham was shown the ram, and he brought that as a korban, the same way there had to be some kind of substitute for her in Shemayim. So that's symbolic of that, yeah. Anyway. So Omruloy, they asked Reb Chanina ben Dosa, Noviata? Are you a Novi? How do you know she's going to get out of there safely? Omruloy, he says, I figured like this. This same matter that this tzaddik, Nechunya, is concerning himself always over it. you kosher by zarah? Should his very own children be have to suffer through it? And Tosfos points out that the fact is, again, since we're talking about the very same burr that her father dug, or at least the very same water that he provided for the tzibur, it wouldn't be appropriate min hashamayim that his own daughter should die in that water. So therefore, he realized she's going to get out of there safe. Omer of Acha. So Rav Acha says that's true. Nevertheless, Acha Pekin, Mes B'nei Batsama. Later on, at some point, Nechunya's son died of thirst. Now you're going to say, what do you mean? So that Tosfos points out, it's one thing that the son died for a lack of water, but the actual water itself that his father had provided for the tzibur, it's not right that his daughter would end up dying in that. But to die from something else, yes, admitted, it's as a result of water, it's an indirect result of water, but still, that's not included in what Rav Chanina ben Dosa is saying.
But also, on the other hand, if he provided water for all the Yidden, so he should have been provided with water also.
Nevertheless, the Gemara says, one second, Shenema, because we find in the Pasuk, Usviva of Nisara Ma'od, the Pasuk says around Hashem is very Nisara. Now the simple meaning of Nisara is stormy, like Sar God of Ayan. But the Gemara is darshaning, the word Nisara is written with a sin, so it's Meloshin Seir, a hair, Melamed Shakvarash Baruch Hu, Medaktikim Sviva, Hashem is particular with those who are around him, Tzadikim, Afilo Kuchot Asayra, even like a hair's breadth. So yes, Hashem, Nechunya, being a tzaddik, he was judged very strictly by Hashem. So it's one thing that his daughter should actually drown in water, the very water that he provided to the tzibur, that Rav Chanina Mendoza is saying is not going to happen. But that his son might die because of a lack of water, that's already HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik him tzaddikim, and that doesn't go against Hashem's rules for justice. Rav Nechunya Omar, Rav Nechunya, maybe he was a descendant of the original Rav Nechunya, I don't know, at least he was his namesake, although on the side of it here it says that in Yevamos it's actually put in the name of Rav Chanina. Omar, anyway, he says, Mehocha, you have a different posik that expresses this idea, how particular Hashem is with tzaddikim. The posik is, Keil Naretz Besod Kedoshim, Hashem who is exalted in the secret gathering of the holy ones, meaning the pashtus, meaning the malachim, Rabba Venora, Kosvivav, he's a Besod Kedoshim Rabba, in the great assembly of the holy ones, Venora, Kosvivav, and Hashem is awesome, and Hashem is feared by all those around him. So we see those who are around him, the tzaddikim, who are around Hashem and close to Him, they're the ones that Hashem is noda, that Hashem is awesome and fearful over them because He treats them with midas agvora. So in this connection, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanina, Kola Oimer Hakadosh Baruch Hu Vatran Hu. Anybody who says that Hashem is a Vatran, that Hashem lets things slide, kind of a Vatran is like, for example, you have when a person goes to the store and he says keep the chain, that would be an example of a Vatran. You have, for example, Iyav Vatran Mamoina. So if a person says that Hashem is like that he doesn't pay attention to the little details, Yivosu Chayav, his life deserves to be made hefker. The expression, the Rashami, when it brings this, has a different expression, Yisvatin Bnei Ma'oidi, his stomach deserves to be, his stomach, Kishvis, deserve to be let loose and like, in other words, like, oh, his body will fall apart. Because no, that's a wrong way of thinking of it. And because it causes that people are going to think, well, in that case, I don't have to worry about doing Avedis. Hashem is an easygoing, nice guy, and therefore, even regular people. Shenemach, Sur Tomim Polik, he called Zerachav Mishpat, and the Pasuk says, Hashem is the rock, what he accomplishes, what he does is perfect, and all his ways are Mishpat. So, to be Mavakta would be the opposite of Mishpat. What it is Hashem will take other factors into consideration, so a person doesn't always get the punishment for his Avedis right away. The Eivishter is Enachapayim, as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, and you have many other considerations, but not that the Eivishter is saying, I'm going to let it slide, and I'm going to ignore it. That he doesn't do. So in this connection, Amar Rav Chana, the Itamer of Shmuel Manachmeni, my dichtiv, what does it mean? The Pasuk says, Erech Atayim, in the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim, very appropriate for today, it says, we say that Hashem is Erech Atayim, V'loiksiv Erech Af. Now, the word Af, Rashi points out, in the singular, means anger. Atayim implies two kinds of will. So if it said Erech Af, it would mean that Hashem is patient and slow to anger with Rishoyim. But since it says Erech Apayim in the plural, it means there are two different Ritzonis of Hashem, which Hashem is long with. What does that mean? Erech HaPayim, lo Tzadikim v'lo Rishoyim. Means that Hashem is Erech HaPayim, both for Tzadikim and for Rishoyim, for Tzadikim that Hashem doesn't always pay them in this world for their mice and toivim, so that they'll get the ultimate reward in Olam Haba. And for Rishoyim, Hashem waits. And then Tosfos points out over here that actually you have, when it comes to the Rishoyim, there are actually two factors in it. On the one hand, it can be for the bad, but this way their reward, Hashem doesn't punish them in this world, so they get their full punishment in Olam Haba. There can also be a good in it, because it means Hashem has given them more of an opportunity to do tshuva, so they don't have to be punished. So when it comes to the Rishoyim itself, you have two different ways, two different reasons why Hashem is patient with them. And with the Tzadikim, it's one reason in order that they should get a greater schar l'olam haba. But that's why it says Erech HaPayim in the plural. Okay. Finishing off on this point about not making a bor b'rishus harabim, the Gemara says, Tzana Rabbanan, lo yisakel odem b'rishus l'rishus harabim. Just like we said, a person is not allowed to dig in rishus harabim the same way he's not allowed to throw stones when he's clearing his field and throw the stones from his rishus into rishus harabim. Ma'isa ba'odem echad shei masakel b'rishus l'rishus harabim. It happened once a person was doing just that. A certain chosid met up with him. Elsewhere, the Gemara says that chosid echad may mean either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi. Anyway, so this chosid met up with him. Amalei says, Reka, you empty person. Why are you throwing stones? Why are you clearing stones from a rishus which is not yours into a rishus which is? Sounds backwards because he's doing the other way around. He's doing from his rishus to a rishus that's not his. So the guy laughed at the chosid echad. Eventually this guy became poor and had to sell his field. He's walking one day down that same street. He's tripped over the very same rocks that he had thrown there before. Now he says, ah, now I understand well what this chosid told me. Because the field is not always going to be sholcha. Because you see, I ended up having to sell it. The rishus harabim is always sholcha because everybody has the right to walk in rishus harabim. Yeah. And they happen in other ways, yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Hachoifer bor b'rishus harabim v'nofel l'seich ha'shorei chamer. Person digs a bor b'rishus harabim and an ox or a donkey falls into it, or any other animal for that matter. We're going to learn at the end of the parak that these dinim apply to all animals and birds and whatnot. Anyway, chayev, so he's chayev for what happens to the animal. And it applies, echad achoif a bur, whether he digs a bur, which is round, shiach, or shiach, which is rectangular, umaora, or a cave, which is, basically square, Rashi explains, and it has a covering, it has a roof over it. So like a cave, like you think of a cave. The difference is, in other words, it has an opening at the side, so it's still possible for an animal to wander in there and fall in. So that's a mara, or charitzin, or a person digs charitzin, which Rashi explains, it's similar in shape to a ma'ara, it's square, but it doesn't have a roof over it. Unitzin is where it's narrow on the bottom and wide on the top. So all these are different kinds of water pits that people would dig in those days. Rabbi Hananel has a bit of a different explanation. He explains that a choritz is wider on bottom and narrower on the top, and the itzin is the other way around. Like Rashi says, narrower on the top, narrower on the bottom, wider on the top. Whatever the case, or in all those cases, chayev, then he's chayev if an animal falls in. Imkain lamanema burr. Well, if you have all these different types, why does the Torah mention specifically burr, as if to imply it's only that one? So it tells you, ma burr yesh by asara tfachim, ma burr yesh by kidei lahomis asara tfachim, just like a burr. Has to be to for a person to be chayev for the death of the animal. A burr is deep enough to kill an animal. Namely, it's 10 tefachim deep. By default, people would dig burris at least 10 tefachim deep because otherwise you don't get much water in there. The same way with any other shape that we're talking about, it has to be at least 10 tefachim deep. And if not, then he's potter for the death of the animal because then it's a fluke that the animal died. If the animal got injured, then yeah, but less than 10 tefachim, we consider as not deep enough to kill an animal. Continues the Mishnah. So if the burr was less than 10 tefachim deep, the nafal seich hasher chamor v'mes, and a sher chamor fell in there and died, potter. Because again, 10 tefachim is not usually enough to kill it. The imhuzak by chayev, but if the animal was injured, then he's chayev, because even less than 10 tefachim is enough to injure.
If the animal falls from like an arrow, then he can't get up. He's stuck down with steps.
That's the thing we're going to discuss now, how it is that a burr kills. So let's say that. So Omar Rab, burr shechiva olav tera, lahev loy v'lev achavtoy. Rab says, let's look at the halachic theory behind the idea of a burr. Rab says, when we're saying the Torah is machayev by a bird, particularly a bird of shosramim, then the chiyuv is for the fact that there's stale air in there, and therefore basically the animal suffocates, not so much about the damage that was caused to the animal by banging on the bottom of the bird. Alma, so that shows, the reason is, kasavar, rav holds chavda, karka olam hudemazgale, because when it comes to the banging, that's the karka olam, it's the ground that belongs to everybody, it's in the Rosh Hashanah, and the ground that was always there, that injured the animal, therefore you can't make the person who dug the bird responsible for that aspect of it, but you can make him responsible for the aspect that there's stale air in there, and therefore that the animal suffocated. Shmuel says, no, you can be mechayev him for both. The stale air, I agree, but all the more so for the fact that it got banged up over there. The internal chavdoi, on return of a loy lahavloi, you're going to say, says Shmuel, maybe the Torah is only mechayev him for the banging, not for the stale air. No, a Torah he ida ala bur, the Torah is testifying that a bur can kill, even if the bottom of the bur is lined with fleeces of wool, so it's soft, so an animal falls in there, it's not going to get banged up. Nevertheless, the Torah is implying that the person is chayev because of the hevel, because of the stale air. However, Shmuel is saying, if there's no cushioning like that, you're also going to be chayev l'chavdoi for the fact that the animal was banged up. Well, the Gemara says, what's the practical difference between Rav and Shmuel? Given that both of them are saying you're chayev, and the fact is, Rashi explains, even if, let's say, so we see there were actual injuries to the animal, we see the animal broke its neck, or its stomach split open, or whatever, still, you could say, Rav would say, so then on the face of it, you would say, Rav would say it's potter, because you're potter for the chavdoi. Nevertheless, Rav would agree that the hevloi may have contributed to the animal dying. Maybe, for example, the hevloi prevented the animal from bracing itself well enough to not hit the ground so hard, is how some mafoshim explain it. And according to Shmuel, you're saying you're chayev because of both, so no matter how the animal died, so what's the practical difference between Rav and Shmuel's reason? So the difference is, what if a person made a high thing in Rosh Hashanah? So a person made, instead of a bird that goes below ground, a person made a pile of dirt 10 tefachim tall in Rosh Hashanah, and the animal walked up on top of it and then fell down onto the ground and got killed. So, according to Rab, there's no Havla, therefore you can't be Mechayim. And he says, Chavta Yapotu for, because the ground of Rosh Hashanah, and you didn't put that ground there. And then Havla, there's no Havla over here, because it's out in the middle of the street. According to Shmuel, you're going to be Chayim, because he holds Yechayim for Chavta as well. Chavta is a bang, the fact that it banged on the ground and got killed.
You know, the guy who put the dirt
there. The guy who put the pile of dirt there was going to be the one Chayim, yeah. So now that's how Rashi and Tosfos learn that we're talking about that the animal climbed up on there and then fell down. The Rambam seems to understand that it means also just if the animal banged into it, he put a pile of dirt over there and the animal crashed into it, then also you'd have a point of Rabbi be potter and a point of Shmuel he'd be chayim. Let's say, for example, the Gemara is going to talk in a couple of baffling by a bird also can't the animal see. And the Gemara is going to give several answers. Whatever answers apply to that would apply to this as well. So my time of the Rav, why does Rav hold that you potter for the chavtoi and only chai for the hevloi? He says, the pasuk says, when the animal falls, abshi yipol derech nefila, so only if it falls in the normal way. So you're walking along in Rosh Hashanah, and then all of a sudden it falls into a burr, as opposed to when the animal had to climb up on top of a pile of dirt in order to fall off. Rav says, that's not included in what the Torah is saying. Whereas Shmuel would say the Nafal implies the animal fell, no matter how it fell, it's still going to be chayav.
If it's in the middle of the Shoshadah, that's the only way, almost the main way you can go.
You could walk around it. Yeah.
But it gets raining.
Then, yeah. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see which one it fits with. We said, in came Mama Nema Bur, so we said, if the rule applies to Burris and Shichen and Ma'oris and so on and so forth, So why did it say specifically bur? We said ma bur sheyesh bekedei lahomis asarat tefachim, av kol kedei sheyesh bekedei lahomis asarat tefachim. We said the general rule is it has to be something 10 tefachim. So b'shleim l'shmuel av kol le'asuya goyva. So according to Shmuel, we understand the Mishnah has mentioned all the different kinds of water pits. Now when it says av kol, also anything else which is 10 tefachim includes a pile of dirt 10 tefachim tall. Elo the Rav, Afkol Asuya Mai, but according to Rav, what is Afkol coming to include? According to him, if you're only chayav for a burr, and we listed every possible kind of burr in the Mishnah, and the answer is, lastly, charitzin and itzin. He would say it comes to include the charitzin and itzin. He says, what do you mean, charitzin and itzin? The head of katoni, the Mishnah had mentioned them explicitly. So the answer is, okay, toni v'hodim v'farish. The Mishnah is first mentioning charitzin and itzin, and then it's explaining, so where do we get that a person should be chayav for charitzin and itzin is because the Torah is using the word burr, and it implies anything that's 10 fucking deep. But still, according to Rav, it has to be deep, not high up above the ground. According to Rav, it was high up above the ground. He's potter, because again, Rav says the problem is only Hevla, and there's no Hevla in that place. So deep, that's what we're saying. So in the Mishnah is saying, Charitzin and Itzin. Now, what makes you think maybe only a burr should a person be chayev? So the Mishnah is funny, because since it says burr, and we learn by a mamatzinu that it means anything that's 10 fucking deep, therefore Charitzin and Itzin are going to be included. So according to Rav, you're right, the Afkol is not coming to add any new kind of pit. It's just coming to explain where do we know that the same rule applies for all kinds of pits. okay, so the Gemara continues. So Vahani Kula Katani Lomali, Taka, why does the Mishnah have to list all five kinds of pits? And the answer is Tzricha, we need one after the other. The Itoni Burr, if he said only a burr which is round, have I mean a burr asoro, the Isfay Hevla, then according to Rav, we would say, you know why you're chayav by a burr, 10 fucking deep, because there's stale air in there, because it's round, mishum to katin ukricha, it's small in size, and it's round, so therefore the stale air doesn't escape it very easily. So therefore, Abel Shiach to Orich, but a Shiach, which is rectangular, it's longer than it's wide, aim of Asara less behemla, maybe 10 tochim deep is not deep enough to have enough dangerous stale air in it. The Iton, so therefore it needs to mention Shiach. The Iton is Shiach, if we only mention that, have Amin a Shiach, Asara who the Isbe Hevla, Mishim de Kotin, you would say fine, but it's narrow in one dimension, it's a rectangle, so it's narrow in one dimension and wide and then long in the other one. Abel Ma'ora, the Miraba, but a Ma'ora is square. Aim of Asara less by Hevla. You could say maybe by Ma'ora, 10 Tfachim deep is not enough to have Hevla yet. The Itani Ma'ora, have Amin a Ma'ora by Asara who the Isbe Hevla. You would say fine, a Ma'ora maybe has Hevla in it, has stale air, Mishim de Metallah, because after all, it's got a roof. Abel Charitzin de Metallah. Charitzin are square, and they don't have a roof, so maybe the stale air can very easily escape there. Aim of Asara less of a Hevla, so maybe therefore 10 Tfachim is not deep enough to have Hevla. V'itana Charitzin, have Amin, Charitzin Asara, do his pay Hevla, Mishum de less behu revicha mila'el, because Charitzin, same tatoi, because Charitzin are not any wider on top than on bottom. Like we said, Charitzin, according to Rashi, is just square, but Pashto is implying they're the same width across from top to bottom, according to Rabbeinu Hananel. On the contrary, the Charitzin are narrower on top and wider on bottom. So you would say, therefore, the stale air has no easy way to escape. Abel ne'itzin d'revichim la'el p'tei mitatoi, but ne'itzin, which are wider on the top than they are on the bottom, aim of asara lesbohu hevla, maybe there's no hevla in them, kamash malon, therefore the Mishnah has to list them. So it's listing all five of them, because each one is a greater chiddush over the previous one. But according to Rav, so you can't. You could have said ne'itzin, and we could have learned out all the others, but the Mishnah will often do that. Loizu afzu. Not only this, but even this, which is a greater chiddush. So therefore, the Mishnah ended up listing all of them, but according to Rav, when it says afkol, doesn't include things that stick out above the ground, which is according to him, you potter, because there's no hevla there at all. Rather, according to him, the afkol is just explaining why taka we say that a person is chayav for all five of these, because the Torah mentions burr, and therefore we learn anything that's 10 tfachim deep. Whether we're going to say, yes, but this one has more hevla, and this one has less hevla, doesn't matter, 10 tfachim, we assume there's enough hevla in there to kill. But according to Shmuel, we're not saying that, and therefore according to Shmuel, we're saying afkol comes to include something sticking up above Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos discusses over here, you can have, for example, according to Shmuel, who has no problem that the animal got injured by the ground of Rosh Hashanah, that he's chayev. So Tosfos discusses a case you could have, you had a pile of dirt, 5 tfachim tall in Rosh Hashanah, around it you dug a ditch, 5 tfachim deep. So therefore, now the animal climbed up on the 5 tefach, and between them, you have a 10 tefach drop, and then the animal fell down. Okay, so we'll continue discussing this point about Hevla and Chavka and all of that tomorrow on Matzah Shabbos.